Certainly good to see each one this morning. As I say a lot of times, I trust we're thankful that we've had the great privilege of having the health and the strength, the desire to assemble and to come together, blessed of the Lord, as we are this morning, to recognize and to reverence and respect the great mercies and favors of our wonderful Heavenly Father that has been so gracious and so merciful unto each and every one of us. I know just a few of the circumstances, situations, occurrences, things that have taken place with you this week. I don't know near the things that have come your way. But I'm glad this morning to know of a great high priest and one that can be easily touched with the feeling of our infirmities and was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That he was truly tried. He was tested, proved out here in this life. He passed every trial. He passed every test. He's our great example and our trust. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. It is shown forth. It is manifested when all of our efforts are exhausted and it is manifested how frail that we are, then His great delivering power is glorified. And we praise Him this morning, our Lord and Savior, for His great mercies. And I pray that the service this morning would be encouraging and uplifting to each and every one. I certainly desire that you would continue to pray for me this morning as I try to stand and try to bring forth from God's Word. If you have your Bible there, or take a Bible from the end of the pew that's close to you, and you'd like to look and turn with us, I'd like to go back to Romans chapter 10. I assure you that by the help and grace of God that the end is in sight of this chapter. But the Lord has taught and helped me a lot through these studies. I've preached on probably these different verses at different times and a verse or two here and there and made reference to it over the years. But as far back as I can remember, I've never taken and went through this chapter like we have. And I trust that it's of the Lord. It's been that's been upon my heart and mind. And of course, there's many, there's the overall subject matter, but there's many different subjects that branch out in this chapter, and we've just scratched the surface. You know, you could stay here and you could go out and move around and you could be here in Romans chapter 10 and if years and understanding and enlightenment would be unto you. You could just keep on trying to put forth an effort and preach from this. Sister Marlene told me, said one time last Sunday, said I was holding three different places in my Bible trying to keep up with you going backwards and forth. But anyway, at least I was keeping her on her toes, you know. Giving her something to look at and to think about. No, I love her, but anyway, if you have to hold your finger in different places, whatever it takes. But Lord willing, I'm going to go back and start reading here and just read through. I do want to stop a couple of places, but then get back down to verse 16. But let's just read these verses again, starting in verse 1 of Romans chapter 10. Because when it basically boils down to it in the context, what the Apostle Paul begins with, he's going to end with. All right? With the very subject matter, the very context of what he says here in these opening verses concerning Israel, primarily in the context, he is going to end with that concerning the nation of Israel, the Jews particularly. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. There are several things there in that fourth verse that he sets forth in the context of this. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now we understand that there's a saving, there's a deliverance. That's under consideration, starts out with in the first verse of the apostles' desire for Israel that they might be saved. And so here he comes into this, of this salvation, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference. Now notice this. Notice in the context and into what he's leading into. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Greek meaning Gentiles. Greek covers all Gentiles. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, did not verse 12 just interpret the whosoever of verse 13? I submit unto you, and I say that it did, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. In the context, the whosoever is Jew or Gentile. So that encompasses and takes in all the elect of God that will do, as the scripture here is admonishing, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. How then? This brings us to where we were last Sunday on the four questions asked. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Remember, as Philip climbed up into the chariot with the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch, who was a Jewish proselyte and had been to Jerusalem to worship, that he was reading in Isaiah And Brother Philip asking the question, understandest thou what thou readest? And remember his answer, how can I, except some man should guide me? He needed a gospel preacher.
Yeah.
He needed a gospel preacher. That fits in right there. Amen. That Ethiopian eunuch, he believed then the message that Philip preached unto him. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He confessed Christ in his action by saying, here's water, what hindereth me to be baptized? And so they came down out of the chariot and he was baptized. And the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way, and Philip was called up by the Spirit. So we can see here from that example there that that's a prime example. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad things and bring glad things of good. That's always a tongue tangler right there. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. There it is. We got it out. Now, verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now I want to go back and I want to read verse 15, and I want to skip verse 16 and go into 17. Listen to it, because 17, and I say this very respectfully, and do not misunderstand what I'm saying. As far as the information, 16 is a side note here. It's kind of like you are in a discussion and you're telling something, and then you kind of go down a side street. It's relevant to what you're saying, but it's sort of down a different avenue. But if you'll go from 15 into 17 and read it that way and just see how much it brings home to you. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You say, preacher, why did you do that? Because I want to show that this faith that is under consideration in verse 17 is gospel faith. Amen. It's involved with the preaching. Preaching is involved. This faith that cometh. This faith here is gospel faith. It is not initial faith. It is not the first faith. It is not the faith. It is not the measure of faith that is given to every man. In that context, when one is born again of the Spirit of God, there is deposited, and there is within that new creation a measure of faith. Now, it takes having that faith deposited in order for gospel faith, gospel belief, gospel trust, gospel confidence to occur and to take place. So, individuals that see or hold forth or believe that have been taught and understand this from the perspective that you have got to have faith, and you get this faith from hearing the gospel preached, and you believe it in order to be born again. That's not the way it is. This faith cometh, it riseth up in a born again child of God that is sitting under the sound, under the hearing of the gospel. This is gospel belief. It connects in with these four questions that are asked. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That Ethiopian eunuch, he couldn't believe on Christ until he heard about Christ. Because his question was, is the prophet speaking of himself, or does he speak of another man? Is he speaking of someone else? Oh, I believe right there that that Brother Philip started preaching to that man, and he preached Jesus Christ to him. And he preached that Isaiah was prophesying, and Isaiah was not speaking of himself, but he was speaking of another. And the preacher, the gospel, the God called man, the God sent man there to that eunuch, informed him and taught him, amen, who the prophet was speaking about. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that Brother Philip, he fulfilled the criteria for those questions that were asked. And while Brother Philip was preaching to that Ethiopian eunuch, faith rose up. Amen. Faith came. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That comprehension and laying hold upon, it was near and nigh unto that eunuch, as verse 8 said, that is the word of faith which we preach. You see, Brother Philip was preaching the word of faith, and that Ethiopian eunuch believed the word of faith. It came from faith to faith. All right? You know, that's another prime example there of what Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 is teaching us. There in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Is the righteousness of God, is that not what's under consideration there in Romans chapter 10? Yes, it is. This is one way that faith that will come about and bring this great deliverance to the nation, to God's people, the Israel among Israel, to come to understand and to trust in Christ and understand the righteousness of God. And it is revealed from faith to faith. I submit unto you that Brother Philip, he is a faith. He's preaching the word of faith. That Ethiopian eunuch has initial faith in him because he's already a born-again child of God. And when he hears the word of faith, amen, preached, faith cometh. That within him rises up, and that gospel faith, it's not that he's getting first faith or initial faith. He already has that, but he is exercising, and the growth of the fruit of faith is being manifested in that Ethiopian eunuch. It is nigh unto him, even in his mouth, the word of faith.
Amen.
Now, let's get another example of that, that teaching that very principle, that everything be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And I invite you to turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 2. There in Hebrews chapter 2, and just start with verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Now, give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Would you not readily accept and believe and accept there that that heard would be in the sense of preaching and teaching. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, to the things that heard how? Heard in teaching, heard in preaching. It's set in the context for what's just ahead. Lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Neglect the salvation. Well, you can't neglect something you don't have. And I tell you, there's that eternal deliverance, that eternal salvation that comes to the elect of God. And then there is that salvation that we're talking about in Romans chapter 10, where faith has risen up under the hearing, under the preaching and teaching of the gospel. And we become disciples of Christ, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling us to give heed to these things, the more earnest heed to the teaching and the preaching that we have embraced, that we have believed, that we have this salvation, lest at any time we should let it slip. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great, if we neglect this great gospel salvation? Oh, what a sad thing it is for individuals to turn away and even to walk away from the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. It is as the dog returning to its vomit. It is as the sow returning to the water of the filth, of the mire, of the hog pen. Oh, that's what those texts, that's my understanding. That's what I get out of it. Amen. It's children of God that have been taught and have eaten and tasted of these good things of the gospel and have exercised, have borne fruit and evidence. But they've let these things slip. Oh, God, help us to give the most earnest heed, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, to the very witness that I'm endeavoring to get to here, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Just trying to help us understand the salvation in the context, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. Now, what do you have right there? The Lord Jesus Christ with His preaching the word of faith. You got faith, all right? It's from faith to faith. The apostles. And was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. Who confirmed the gospel that Christ preached? It was the apostles. The apostles that were them original ones there with Him that heard the word of faith that Jesus preached, the salvation of deliverance, this gospel salvation for God's people, that will give heed and not let these things slip. This is what Paul was praying for the elect among the nation of Israel, that they would be saved to these great truths, amen, as it is in Christ Jesus, and it would come from faith to faith. It came from faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. The doctrine then came to the apostles there in Acts chapter 2, where it talks about those that were baptized on the day of Pentecost, those 3,000, and I believe all of the rest of the disciples, the already disciples, particularly, you know, those 120, which included the original apostles also, that when it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, it wasn't that the apostles had and that's what the word doctrine means. It just means teaching. So it wasn't that the apostles had a teaching in and of themselves. It wasn't something that they had just come up with. But when it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, it's meaning that they continued steadfastly in the word of faith that Jesus had preached to the apostles and had taught them from faith to faith. And now it had come from faith, amen, from the apostles to those that believed and confessed, not only with their mouth, but with their actions, and went in a way of obedience, and they continued steadfastly in that. And steadfastly in that fellowship with the apostles. You've heard me say this before. I trust and pray that we will always be in fellowship with the apostles.
Yeah.
Amen. I want to be in fellowship with the apostles. Amen. That we continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness, them, the apostles, and particularly those Jewish apostles. I believe the Apostle Paul, who is the apostle primarily to the Gentiles, and wrote this when he is writing this here and says, God also bearing them witness. He doesn't say bearing us. So I believe that he has direct when penning this down, he has direct pointing to those apostles, those Jewish apostles that received from faith to faith the teachings of Christ, and it was confirmed among the apostles, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. Would not we also come to the conclusion that when the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, that Timothy, that you have heard, that you've heard taught, that you've heard preached from faith to faith, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Faithful men from faith to faith. Faithful men who will teach others also. And then those others become faithful men and they teach others. And those others become faithful men. It's from faith to faith. I believe that that's exactly the correlation and the connection that is bearing out. Now, when you turn back a page, maybe, I turn back a page, but to chapter 1 of Hebrews, and the very first of the introduction of this letter, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Who is the us there? There the apostle. He doesn't say them, but he says us. He includes himself in that apostleship because it's not only tying in. Remember Hebrews. It's to discouraged Jews, Hebrews, that feel to want to give up. Hebrews gives warning after warning of forsaking Christ and walking away. No doubt, just as in the same sense as those that had heard the false teaching and saying the resurrection was past and it overthrew the faith of some. These that the apostle is writing, these Hebrews, their faith has been overthrown. You know, you can't ever overthrow the faith. amen, the faith and the faithfulness of God as it is in Christ Jesus and the gospel. But our exercise of that, our believing upon it, our trust in it, our confidence in it can get overthrown. Oh, and so therefore, when the apostle is setting forth there in Hebrews chapter 2, and he says in verse 4, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, them, amen, primarily those apostles to the Hebrews, to the Jews, but Paul is all inclusive in the first chapter, and in the second verse when he says, hath in these last days spoken unto us. Spoken unto us. Now somebody would say, well, that's including everybody that reads it. Well, in the broader sense, yes it can. But in the strictest of the context, and what he's saying there, amen, is teaching that God in the past, before the last days of the world, of the age, the closing out of the nation of Israel, and God's dealing with them as God had dealt with them from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and right on down to the end of time of that particular dealings and the way He dealt with them, and the advantage. You've heard me speak on that. The advantage that they had. What advantage hath the Jew? Much in every way. For unto them were committed the oracles, or the sayings, the commandments of God. They had the law and the prophets. They had the manifestation of God. They had God dealing with them like no other families, no other nation, no other people. Of course, we know and understand that that did not exclude individual Gentiles that God manifested and showed Himself greatly unto from time to time. But far as with a family, that God singled out and chose of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and set forth as a beacon, as a witness here in the earth, the Lord's own planning, and dealt with them and manifested Himself unto them like no other people. So in the end of that God had dealt with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants all down through the time until Jesus Christ came into this earth. And it's the closing out in the last days. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. All right. So it's from faith to faith. You know, for many years I had a little problem understanding or coming to grips and really laying hold of that from faith to faith. But that's where I am on that particular subject matter, and that's my understanding. All right, now I want to turn back here in Romans chapter 10. And let's go back to verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And of course, we could turn back over to Isaiah chapter 53. Real hurriedly there. And that's where this question is brought forth. This is where the Apostle Paul brings this out from there in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who hath believed this gospel? Who hath believed this report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who is the arm of the Lord under consideration? I believe it's Jesus Christ. It's the arm of the Lord. Oh, so this revealed and understanding and light and illumination. That's what the apostle is desiring for Israel to understand. Amen, of Jesus Christ, who is the arm of the Lord. The Lord's own right arm hath brought Him salvation. Jesus Christ, amen, is our Savior. I'm glad this morning to believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior, whether it's in an eternal sense or in a temporal sense. He is our Deliverer.
Amen.
You know, and I'm going to say this, and I know I'm going on record, but I believe it's the truth. Our government puts out fear so that it will bring about chaos and confusion and turmoil, so then they can set themselves up as the Savior.
Yeah.
But what does Jesus say? Jesus says, fear not.
Yeah.
Why? Because He is the Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Amen.
He is our Savior. He is our Deliverer.
Yes,
He is our only hope of glory, and He's your only hope in this life.
Amen.
And if we only had hope in this life, we'd be of all men most miserable. But our hope goes beyond, and it extends into heaven's pure world itself. And thank God there's an anchor that holds. We're anchored, and we're anchored above into yonder pure world, in and by and through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to know these things is a salvation to us. It's a gospel salvation. It's a gospel deliverance. It's a blessing that delivers us, amen, from fear.
Amen.
Perfect love casteth out fear. The more you know and understand about the perfect love of God,
amen,
the less fear you should have. The more you understand that God's love is an endless love, that God's love is a boundless love, that God's love is not a dependent love upon any circumstance or situation, upon the one that is loved. Amen. But the very foundation, the very core, the very root is in the very nature of God Himself, of His love that stems forth and is manifested to His elect children. It is steadfast. It is unmovable in God Himself. Therefore, it cannot change. Therefore, amen, His elect are not consumed. Therefore, God, amen, will never cast away His elect that He has foreknown. Oh, that He has embraced and embraced in that everlasting covenant of grace. And when we know this and understand this, when we are illuminated, when we are enlightened, amen, with this knowledge from faith to faith, from the gospel, amen, when you hear the word of faith preached and you lay hold upon it and you believe it, faith riseth within you. And you lay hold upon Christ and you lay a firmer hope upon the things that you have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. I believe that's why we need Holy Ghost preaching. I believe that's why we need Spirit-filled preaching. Amen. That's why, amen, we need a God-called man with a God-given gift to stand and to exhort and admonish and to teach. Amen. God's people to feed. Oh, that God's people can feel in their soul, amen, a lively hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not something that's worked up, but something that is sent down from heaven.
Amen.
Oh, praise God forevermore. Bless His most holy name. Now, a lot we could say there, but we need to move on. Then I want to go on to verse 18. But I say, and I'll connect 18 with 16. But I say, have they not heard? Have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Now that's referencing to the Gentiles. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. A contrary people.
Yeah.
A people that's stiff-necked.
Right.
A people that's rebellious, disobedient, no regard for God and His law, no regard, amen, for the word of faith that they've heard, that they have seen, that they have heard through sin. Now, we need to kind of get a little background on that. I believe that the Apostle Paul, here in the usage of this language, is bearing out and is having a reference back over to Psalms chapter 19. And in Psalms chapter 19, as we're getting into this, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. He's borrowing language. God the Spirit is blessing him to take the language from Psalms 19 and to use it and appropriate it and put it in this context. But now before I read Psalm 19, I don't believe that the creation is what's under consideration here. He's using the language that God uses back over here in verse 19. But when he says in verse 18 of Romans 10, but I say, have they not heard? Talking about Israel. Yes, verily, they're saying. Now, in verse 18, the they and their is not the same. All right? But I say, have they not heard? They is Israel. Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth. In this context and what he's bringing out here, I believe that their sound, this is the preaching of the Jewish apostles and also of the Apostle Paul, who preached to Jews and Gentiles. I don't believe that the Jewish apostles preached to a wide range or to a lot of Gentiles. Now, that's my thoughts. It was some 8 years. We know Peter went down to Cornelius' house. And even after eight years, now that 8 years is not in the Bible. But from what I can figure up and what I can understand, and it's relative to the thought here, to show you that a number of years had even passed, and evidently the Apostle Peter had not been in a Gentile's house yet. Because God teaches him that lesson of what I have cleansed, call not thou common or unclean. In other words, God had cleansed the Gentiles for recipients of the gospel. But it was some years later, I believe it was around 8 years after the ascension and Pentecost had taken place before Peter went to Cornelius' house. So he still hadn't been in a Gentile's house. This gospel had to be preached first to the Jew. As you know, they had the birthright to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Alright? So here, I believe he's bringing in about the apostles and their preaching, and that 40-year span of time between AD 30 and AD 70, Christ Jesus, a preacher, John the Baptist, a preacher, Christ, a preacher, and for 3.5 years, ears and teaching and from faith to faith and those apostles and then their ministry that went on through the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, and on into the 60s. And of course, somewheres there around AD 68 and so forth, before the destruction of Jerusalem, it is most commonly believed and held to, it's not in the Bible, that the Apostle Paul was martyred. And most likely the only, well, I'm not going to go there right now. That would have to open up some more things. But let me read here in Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. So the Apostle Paul is using some of this language right here from there to bring about and show forth what in this context. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth. Now, I don't believe that creation is under consideration there, but their sound, I believe it's the apostles' sound. The apostles' sound of the preaching of the gospel has gone unto the ends of the world. Now, I know a lot of questions will come up right there. A lot of questions will arise. But I submit unto you, I believe what the Scripture says, and I believe that during that period of time, amen, that the gospel of the kingdom was preached. It was preached, and it was noised abroad, and that it went forth there on the day of Pentecost. Look at all of those, look at all of the Jews that was gathered in for the Passover and for the 50th day, the Feast of Pentecost, and all of the different ones that Acts chapter 2 names right there. That's a whole large area of the known world that was covered even right there. And we have the, and then you have the travels. Oh, I believe that those apostles traveled. We don't have the recording in the Scriptures of their travels like we do the Apostle Paul's traveling and so forth. But I believe that they were busy. I don't believe they were lazy. Amen. I believe those apostles were up and about. Amen. That the Lord had given them because he told them to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And I believe that they went and they did what the Lord told them to do. Then, of course, we have the Fullerites in the late 1700s come along and jerk all them verses out of context and put them and assign them to the duty and responsibility of the modern day church at that time, and therefore to give birth to the missionary baby. And like we were talking about before service, look what that baby has grown into. I think probably they would even be surprised, amen, of what that has grown into. And when you get off a little bit, no telling where you're going to veer off to. You'll just keep getting further and further and further and further off and away from the truth as it is in Christ and from the practice and the discipline and the order of the church that the Lord Jesus Christ set up and established. His beloved, his church that Jesus built, the gospel church here in the earth, she is but one.
Yeah.
He didn't build 1,000. He didn't build 2,000. Now there are many congregations. Amen. There are many. Amen. Individual local body of Baptists. baptize believers which are a gospelly called out church. Amen. But they are of the same framework. They are the same constitution and establishment if they are a true gospel church of the church that Jesus Christ built and set up and furnished himself. His very self. So those apostles, they went forth and they preached. And they were under that commission to do so. And their words unto the ends of the world. To the ends, amen, of that particular age, of that dispensation of time, of the closing out and the ushering in of new heavens and new earth, as Isaiah 65, amen, preaches and talks about. There was such a drastic changing. We've talked about the light going out in that old law worship and that old service and what the nation of Israel had under that, and the bringing in of Christ's gospel kingdom here in the earth. It is as a new heaven and a new earth. It is something that was different, something that was more glorious. It was so glorious, as Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 65, that the mention of the old would not even be mentioned.
Amen.
Amen. It would not even be mentioned, because it wouldn't be anything in comparison to what Christ, the fulfillment of all of the things and all of the law service that pointed toward of the Lord Jesus Christ, and who is the very fulfillment of that. Now, I want to turn over to the Colossians. Colossia. The church at Colossia. The Colossia letter. There in chapter 1. And this is going to go right along with this. About their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. I've told you before that the Apostle Paul wrote what he preached, and he preached what he wrote. So why would we not have similar language to another, in another writing, another letter? And I believe this is what he preached. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Since we heard of your faith. Your faith in Christ.
Yeah.
It came from faith to faith.
Yeah, right.
All right. Your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. We've been preaching about the word of faith. Now we're hearing about the word of truth. I tell you, the word of faith and the word of truth is one and the same. Amen. It is. His gospel is truth. And we are to believe it and have confidence in it and to trust in it. Now here it is. Which is come unto you as it is in all the world. It's coming to you the same way, this truth. You're hearing the same gospel preached. You're receiving the same ordinances, the Lord's Supper, water baptism, the same offices of the gospel church. Amen, apostle, which that's still the same apostles. We still have them, but it's through the letters that they wrote. The only two offices, pastor, teacher, one and the same. Deacon, that's another office of the church. And they're all for the perfecting, the equipping of the saints, and the taking care of the different facets of the gospel church, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. When you heard it. Talked about the fruit. Oh, when does he say that they bore gospel fruit? As it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it. They didn't bear gospel The folks at Colossae didn't bear gospel fruit until they had heard the gospel. Amen. There's another point that backs up what I've been telling you concerning that. Now, when you take that in line, as it is in all the world, and you turn on over to verse 23 of the same chapter, we could start in verse 20, but for the sake of time, verse 23, and if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, if I read that correctly, I just read to you where it said that this that they heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I can't tell you all the how, and I can't tell you all the whereabouts, but I can read what the Word of God says right there, and the Word of God says that it happened. And I'm going to stand right there on it. And as the apostle said back in Romans chapter 10 and verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? Did Israel not know? He's going back now, before the apostles, before the time of Christ, and going back into their history. And says, yes, they had a witness back then. They've had Moses, meaning what? The law. The law. This is what Israel had. There was advantage to them. And Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, meaning the Gentiles. And by a foolish nation, I will anger you. Let's turn back for just a moment in Isaiah 65, that verse 1 and 2. This is where he's picking up those words there. Isaiah 65, 1 and 2. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. This nation that wasn't called by His name. We've talked about that. We've talked about a people that would be called by His name in the future sense and came to pass, the gospel church. We talked about how that Israel was a people, if my people which are called by my name. But here he talks about, behold me. In other words, a people that's going to be illuminated, a people that is going to see, a people that is going to have understanding that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walked in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoked me, I'm reading on, to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick. This is what Israel did. Which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things, is in their vessels. In other words, they broke all of God's laws. Which say, now this is what Israel said. God's just said about them what they are, but this is what they say. Which say, stand by thyself. Now, this is Israel saying to the nation that's going to be called by the Lord's name, saying to the Gentile, the nation of Israel, they held even Samaritans who were mixed breed. They counted them as dogs. They counted all Gentiles as dogs. And what did they say? Stand by thyself. Come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. That's what the Jews said. We're holier than you other folks. You stand off to yourself. You don't come near unto us. And what group of people was at the very height of that when Jesus came in the end of their time? Was it not the Pharisees? Was it not the Pharisees? You know, I can just see it totally coming to the zinc. Coming to the height of the pinnacle of fulfillment.
Yeah.
When that old Pharisee stands there and says, "I thank thee, O God, that I'm not like this publican."
Yeah.
Publican, you old sinner, you don't come over here with me. You stand over there. I'm holier than you are. That's what he is saying. And it had been prophesied and foretold. I'm holier. Notice what he said. What did the Lord say about that? These are a smoke in my nose,
yeah,
a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. Into Israel's bosom. Israel, you've played the hypocrite. You've played the harlot. You've committed spiritual fornication. You've played the whore upon every mountaintop. You've sacrificed all in the gardens and monuments. And it's a stink into my nostrils, is what the Lord's saying. But there's going to come a time I'm going to recompense it. Payback's coming. Into your bosom. You're going to get fire in your bosom. This is all symbolic language. You're going to receive fire into your bosom. That was the AD 70 judgment that was coming upon them. We could go on further there, but I want to bring out in Matthew chapter 24 when the Lord says, in speaking to them of the signs of that impending judgment of AD 70 coming upon them, in Matthew 24 and verse 14, Matthew 24 and 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world." Now Jesus himself says that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. This is the known world. This is the world that the Jews had went out into, out surrounding Israel, and into the known world of other nations. Remember 17 on the day of Pentecost, and other places where they had spread and launched out and went out. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world." This is not talking about every geological area and spot on the earth. I don't see that. I don't believe that's what's under consideration. Because in this context and where Jesus is saying this, this gospel has got to be preached in all the world before AD 70. This is a world that is under consideration. This is the end of that world. Jesus came in the last days of that world. "And this gospel of the kingdom would be preached for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Then shall that end come. Not the end of time.
No.
Not the end of time, but the end of that, as we've talked about, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob down through, dealing with them and the advantages that they had and the oracles of God and the commandments of God and God's dealing with them. And he says practically the same thing in Mark chapter, well, he does say the same thing, just a little bit variation of speech in as Mark records in Mark 13 and 10. Mark 13 and 10. "And the gospel must be first be published among all nations." So I believe that this is all in the context that we're bringing in here of what the apostle is speaking of here in Romans chapter 10. Now I'm going to come to a close. And remember, I said to you, And this is going to, I feel in my heart, this is going to end with us concerning going here, Romans chapter 10, particularly in this series, if you want to call it a series or whatever you want to call it. But chapter 10 begins with the apostles' desire for their salvation, their saving,
right,
a deliverance.
Yep.
And he ends on this note of the preaching that has went forth and the teaching. He's dealt with all of that back through the substance of this chapter. And he says, he's told us how that this salvation will come, that this, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? The very name apostle means sent ones. They were sent. Jesus gave them their command and sent them forth.
Yeah. Amen.
And so here in Romans, in Colossae, and the very language of Jesus, and in the context that Jesus uses it and speaks before that end, before that AD 70, before that closing out, because he places and tells us that that is Israel in Isaiah prophesied. I turned over there in 65 and read it. But I say to not Israel, no. First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, and I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. It's the foretelling of going to the Gentiles. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Israel, that nation, was weighed in the balance and found wanting. Weighed in the balance,
yeah,
and found wanting. Had thumbed their nose up against God.
Yeah.
Had crossed the line in the sand and were under judicial blindness and judicial judgment. What lessons. Let us give the more earnest heed to what we have heard, to the preaching, the teaching we've received from God's Word, this that we've read, the witness in the Scriptures, and give heed and give more earnest heed, less at any time,
yeah,
that we should let them sleep.
Right.
The Lord bless you this morning is my prayer.
Amen.